Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks for being here on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at age.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and today a very special guest is Chuck Underwood, founder and president of the Generational Imperative, the Cincinnati-based multi-generational consulting firm. It's a brand new book as well, called The Generational Imperative, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and in Your Living Room. All right, more about that in just a moment. A little bit later on in the show, well, a few moments away here, actually, it's Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider, and directly from the brain is what he's talking about today. Jean Bliss is with us, too, later on, the customer experience, and she's been doing a three-part series, actually, on inspire and drive customer experiences. In other words, get back to your customers, get in the conversation. It's kind of like social marketing kind of stuff. So that's the show. I can't think of a better reason to stick around.
Yeah, and Jean does a great job. She's just joined us in the past, what, 6-8 months, and getting a lot of response from listeners that like the content that she provides our program. And of course, Patrick Meyer, as you mentioned, Ray, a longtime contributor here to The Advertising Show. Public broadcasting officials, Ray, recently vowed to fight drastic cuts President Bush is seeking to make to federal financing for public television and radio. So I guess we can expect more pledge drives in coming years.
Oh, great.
Warning that the reductions would seriously impair station operations. Bush's proposed 2009 budget released back in February would more than half the federal allocation to public broadcasting over the next 2 years. Can you tell he's not running for president again?
Yeah, really. He said, heck with you guys.
Right, and the deepest cuts to the system proposed during his administration, I might add. So
that's really very sad in a roundabout way, because there's a lot of good stuff out there.
There is, and anything, if you're not worried about reelection, you start doing stuff that politically doesn't matter, and unfortunately for the public broadcasting, both radio and television industries, that's a big hit.
I'm sorry to hear that, because, you know, for instance, with classical music and such.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting is your commercial stations have gone away because the niche is so small.
Right.
They couldn't afford to support the symphony orchestras that they have. So now what you're saying is basically it's going to be tougher for these folks who enjoy classical and all of the other good stuff.
Jazz is another one. You don't hear so much. I'm talking about mainstream jazz, not your
real
pop jazz.
Right. Which we talked about. Smooth jazz is not real jazz, folks.
No, Kenny G, no, not really.
Or
Kenny.
Phil Collins, that's my favorite as
yeah,
well.
That's
yeah,
true.
Right.
Yeah.
Great format, good attempt, but Ramsey Lewis does it better. And luckily he's involved in some shows too. That's really sad to hear about. The Geico cavemen are back. And I'm just not so sure. I saw a spot, and it was like, this was not funny.
It's playing off of the TV.
Not funny. Yeah. Geico's the character's back on TV in a space many think they should have never left, which is the commercial world. Caveman so far fallen flat among critics. Character's reappearance in the spots after the Super Bowl suggests Geico wants to reclaim them. In my mind, I could be wrong, but it seems like, you know, that was a good run with those characters and everything.
They kind of gave it up to the TV program, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. It's almost like, it's not like selling out, but it's almost like you. Well, it was like when Emeril did his little show, and then they tried to put him on television.
Right.
And Emeril can't act.
Right.
And he found that out very embarrassingly. Yeah. So I guess what I'm suggesting is, what's going on with the cavemen? And to me, this was to bring them back to the Super Bowl. It's like, no, it's not funny anymore.
Right, and it was interesting because you mentioned Emeril. Emeril is a good example of being yourself on TV, which a lot of cooking stars, Martha Stewart, as well as more recently Rachel Ray. They both, I think, more Rachel Ray than Martha, but they tend to just be themselves. And once they are put in an acting role, as Emeril was, as you pointed out, leave it to the professionals, folks. It's not an easy thing to do. You remember having John Battelle on the program, Ray? Was just getting Federated Media off the ground. Of course, John was the former publisher of Industry Standard magazine as well as Wired. Well, .com era magazine, the Industry Standard, which closed in 01, you might recall, like many of the other internet companies they covered, is relaunching as a website. Founded in 98, the original Industry Standard was billed as the Bible of the internet industry, and in 2000 set a record, by the way, for selling more ad pages than any other magazine. The new Industry Standard will take a strategically different and lower cost approach. Are you ready for this, Ray? There will be no print edition, no surprise there, and the site will have one full-time editorial employee. So they may stay in business for more than a or they may not be so tied to the economy as far as, being able to have staying power. I'm not sure. I haven't visited the site yet, but it'll be interesting to see if they're able to take a well-known brand name and resurrect it from the ashes and bring it online. I don't know.
Could be a mistake.
Well, may want more than one full-time employee.
You would think so.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like a real job.
No.
Patrick Myers on the Advertising Show now.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Ever come across something as a marketer that you just want to scream with delight that you knew was possible, or at least would come one day? What I'm talking about is brain diagnostics, getting insights directly from the brain. As I'm always looking for innovation, a friend of mine who runs a VC company said, Patrick, you need to take a look at this company called MSense. They're doing things with the brain. I said, hey, I'm always game, but a little bit skeptical. I've always thought the idea of getting input directly from the brain was going to be possible, but no one had really jumped the gap and done it in a big way, a scalable way. So I go out to the West Coast to meet with this group of people, a couple young guys out of the MIT Media Lab, backed by one of the founders of the search engines. They put goggles on my head, showed me commercials, a Dove commercial, and then played back exactly what I was thinking, engagement, likability, and physiological response. I was blown away. Second by second, you could see how I was responding to a little girl saying, I have freckles and I feel that I'm ugly. And my heart plummeted. Then it continued to climb as Dove said that they could help little girls feel better about themselves. What I'm talking about here is engagement and emotion metrics. That's what all marketers are looking for. With new technology, this company, MSense, has been able to read what consumers are thinking directly from the brain. What's really intriguing, though, is it'll also work for concepts, packaging, online, outdoor, print, everything inside of marketing and advertising. Technology is an important part of marketing and advertising as it evolves, and you need to sift through and look for things that you can bring to your business.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider, and remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net. or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Hey, it's Patrick Meyer on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks, Patrick. We've got Gene Bliss coming up in a little while here. Inspire and drive customer experiences back to grow your business and to grow those experiences into positive, salient things that folks can attach themselves to. I'm done with that. Chuck Underwood is the founder president of the Generational Imperative, Cincinnati-based multi-generational consulting firm. He consults and trains executive and management-level personnel at corporations and organizations nationwide on the influence of generational values on Americans' consumer, career, and lifestyle decisions, with a special focus upon executive development and leadership. His comprehensive book on a generational business strategy has just been published and is available online at Amazon.com. It's called The Generational Imperative. It is, it's green. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Show the camera.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. It's called Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room. So basically, Chuck is in Cincinnati, one of the world's most incredibly cool towns. Possibly underrated for its, coolness.
Right.
But, no, it's a great place to be. We'll have Chuck on for three segments here.
Yeah.
At the Advertising Show.
And, it wasn't too long ago, Ray. I guess back in the early 2000s, we were talking about how, I don't know, it's kind of poetic justice in that the newspaper industry was having a struggle and they were really challenged to keep things going. Local newspaper websites are seeking safety in numbers and convenience, joining large networks for online display ads. The networks are providing to be a key part of online strategy for newspapers. You know, back when the newspaper's attitude was, these are our rates, you don't like it, to hell with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the newspapers are, you know, willing to work with you, and
sure.
and they're actually just doing all they can to stay in business. And
right.
I guess there's a lesson for when you're on top, treat people nice, because you
like
may
you're
run
at the bottom.
You may run into them on the way down.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good thought. Here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Chuck Underwood is with us here in just a moment.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. As promised, our very special guest out of Cincinnati is Chuck Underwood, founder and president of The Generational Imperative, also author of the book of the same name, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room. Chuck, it is a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show.
Likewise, Ray and Brad, thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. And with a subtitle referring to generational differences in the workplace, marketplace, and living room, Chuck, I'm curious, who do you expect to be reading your book?
Well, the publisher asked that question, and the answer is, understanding generational differences is one of those that probably should be fully understood by every person living in this country, whether for personal or family dynamics or business reasons. So the universe is my oyster in terms of the content of the book.
Well, and that's well said. And I know that you are also, you do work on a consulting basis and giving speak engagements and so forth. So I'm curious, your motivation for writing the book?
Simply because audiences at training seminars had kept coming up and saying, do you have a book? Do you have a book? And until this past autumn, I didn't. But also, to be candid, my speaking fees and training fees are such that a lot of small companies, and especially smaller advertising agencies that can benefit so much from generational strategy, simply can't afford to bring me in for a small agency training session. And so this book is the content equivalent of a 9-hour oral presentation in teaching generational marketing strategy and generational workplace strategy.
Well, and, you know, we receive review copies here at The Advertising Show of a lot of books, and we only have authors on that we feel are really worthwhile content, and both Ray and I would like to compliment you on the content of your book, and we recommend to our listeners to go check that out. I'm sure Amazon.com and elsewhere you will find that. Let's bring this into advertising and marketing. Why are generational marketing and advertising strategy so important?
Because we now understand that generational values and generational beliefs and attitudes exert astonishing influence on Americans' consumer decisions. And so understanding much more than just demographic factors, we now also need to understand generational influences on consumer decisions.
You know, so are you suggesting that is there ever an advertising campaign or a particular product or service that can cross all generational boundaries and would not have to take in consideration one particular segment versus the other?
Yeah, multi-generational messaging can work because as distinctive as America's five living generations are, they also share commonalities. And if you understand the commonalities, a single 30-second television spot or a 60-second radio spot or a single print ad or online ad can reach multiple generations.
Well, and that's interesting. Before we talk a little bit more about targeting, in your book, you talk about the five living generations and how their needs and wants differ as you move from one group to the other. And I'd like to take each of those five and just have you define it for our audience, if you would. Just to give you the top, the five, it's the silent boomers, the Gen Xers, the millennials, and the GIs. So let's start with the silents.
Sure. The silents were born between the years 1927 and 1945. So in 2008, silents are aged from 63 to 81. They came of age, and with generational understanding, everything relates back to their formative years, roughly the first 20 to 23 years of a person's life. What were the times and what were the teachings that that generation experienced? The white silent male has enjoyed the smoothest career passage in American history. The lives of silent generation females have bridged the before and after of the modern women's movement, and the lives of silent generation minorities have bridged the before and after of the modern civil rights movement. This generation came of age during an era of don't rock the boat conformity. They also came of age during a time of innocence. They've been described as our last innocent generation, and also, it probably follows, our nation's most sexually frustrated generation. At this stage in their lives, they possess more purchasing power than any previous generation at this age. They're receptive to advertising, and they also have a unique core value that goes something like this. We conformed so much when we were young, we didn't rock the boat. We did everything the boss told us to do on the job, and now we have a passion to grow younger, to take a few risks, and because we put up with all of the corporate crap throughout our careers, by golly, we've now earned the right to reward ourselves. So they are relatively free spending, receptive to advertising, have significant purchasing power. A good number of marketers get that and are cashing in. A number of them don't get it and are leaving money on the table.
And you know, for boomers like Ray and I guess you're really talking about our parents, right?
No, well, it depends. If you are a younger boomer, mm-hmm. what's called a second wave boomer, mm-hmm. now sort of age 44 to early 50s,
right. okay.
then your parents probably are silent.
Right.
The older first wave boomers who this year go from roughly age 54 up to 62, for the most part had GI generation parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ray and I are at the younger end of this. So with Tom Brokaw's book, I recall it being something along the lines of the best generation ever. Is this the generation that he's speaking of?
No, his book, The Greatest Generation,
yes.
refers specifically to the GI generation, which is our oldest living generation.
Mm-hmm.
The GIs this year are age 82 and older. They're the generation described as the ones that saved the world and then built the greatest nation in the history of the planet.
Interesting. And you also mentioned that a lot of these consumer habits and other value system were pretty much embedded in their early 20s of this particular silent segment. I'm curious, what is it about the particular market that kept it that way all those years?
Well, the silents were children, first of all, during the Great Depression, and then World War II, and more importantly, their parents had to endure both of those major events. But silence also, the younger silence, came of age during the remarkable prosperity of that period that's called the Great American High, which is 1946 to 62, a very materialistic, show-your-wealth, conspicuous consumption time after 16 years of depression and war. So silence came of age quite different from the baby boomers in that silents really know the value of a dollar from the message that their Depression-era parents gave them. And they've saved quite well for retirement. They're as prepared as any generation has ever been. They also benefited, especially the white men, from a very smooth career passage. And that also is enhancing their financial stability at this age. And as a result, the desire by the marketplace to pursue them.
Well, along with the boomers, we will tackle all four living generations next segment.
Tackle them all? Not the older ones. That's not a good idea.
I can't handle it.
Generational Imperative is the book, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room. Chuck Underwood out of Cincinnati here at the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Cut. Reload.
That's a complicated-looking machine, isn't it? Funny thing is, a lot of people still think that taking home movies is that complicated, too.
You can replace that with working your VCR.
Yeah.
too, as well. On The Advertising Show, welcome back. It's Generational Imperative. It's Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room. And our special guest out of Cincinnati is Chuck Underwood. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Once again, great to be with both you guys. Thanks.
Well, our pleasure. Mentioning the five living generations and tackling last segment, the silence, we're going to talk a little bit about boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, as well as GIs. I think of the five categories, Chuck, boomers has probably been more written and more spoken about than any of the other four that you mentioned as the living generations. First off, fair assessment, do you agree with that? And number two, how does what you have to say about the boomer market differ than what's already been said?
Well, the baby boomers, first of all, were born from 46 to 64, and in 2008, their current age is 44 up to 62. This is the generation beyond its control that came of age, went through its unique and all-important formative years during probably the greatest period in American history to be a kid. When boomers came of age, America, it seemed, could achieve anything. We could safely land a man on the moon. Our Congress could pass civil rights legislation taking on our nation's worst personal prejudices. Neighborhoods were safe. Jobs for dads were secure. Neighborhoods were secure. Boomer women came of age thinking they could hitchhike across the nation without getting raped and murdered, and they could, and they did. So this is a generation that came of age feeling remarkably empowered, remarkably engaged, very idealistic, unsinkably optimistic, and they came of age as one of the largest generations in the history of mankind, some 80 million of them. Because life changed so much during their formative years, and because in adulthood they wanted to change the system so much, the news media have always covered the boomers. They have always been front page news. They kind of disappeared as they got into adulthood and off of the protest on the college campuses back in the 60s and early 70s, and they launched their careers and started their families. But they are now reemerging with their idealism, and the boomers are about to surface again. They're not done rocking the boat. And as consumers, because they also have been the golden generation in the American workplace, they are the career-driven generation, they have amassed unprecedented wealth, and they also are currently receiving the largest transfer of wealth in human history. As their parents bequeath their estates to them, as boomers lose their beloved moms and dads. So the American marketplace is having to reorient 40 years of thinking. And to now think that 18 to 49 is the golden demographic, and to ignore 50 plus is to, in all likelihood, blow it.
Yeah. Well, Gray and I are waiting for our windfalls. It doesn't look like they're coming anytime soon. But, you know, when it comes to the boomer market, I think, you know, a lot of people think about how boomers are remaining young and at least hoping to remain young and trying to remain young, still being still today. They seem different in other age groups of past generations and wanting to strive to do things that just previously had never been done before. What is it about boomers that have changed the way they view aging and moving on into the older demographic?
Well, you're right in saying that the boomers have one unique core value that is uncommonly strong in their generation, and that core value is forever young. Because the boomers came of age during what the TV sitcom The Wonder Years describes as a golden age for kids, the boomers always brought into their lives this optimism and this idealism, and also the very clear memory of their very own parents or their grandparents from the GI generation, having been a generation that was also so empowered and so engaged that they could save the world during World War II and then build this remarkable nation. And boomers sat at the dinner table every night with these larger-than-life parents who passed on to their boomer kids that same sense of activism and purpose. It's just that when boomers came of age, they directed all of those core values at a new set of enemies. It was no longer an economic depression and communism. As boomers came of age, they launched six major social revolutions. They saw that they could change the nation and the world, and because they saw that people power works, they will throughout their lives be socially engaged and empowered, and those kinds of values keep you young.
And what you're hearing here is an example of what you'll find in the Generational Imperative, author Chuck Underwood, our guest today. Real quickly, Gen Xers, if you could define that for us this segment, and then we'll talk more about Gen Xers from a consumer standpoint next segment.
Sure. Baby boomers came of age during perhaps the greatest time in history to be a kid. Generation X experienced the most psychologically difficult childhood in American history, and yet the most materially comfortable childhood in American history. Xers are an island generation. Because of their formative years, they have very, very unique core values and beliefs. Especially as consumers, the marketplace had to make a big shift in the way that it messaged to Gen Xers compared to what it had done when it messaged to the boomers. Generation X came of age when American vice presidents and presidents were resigning in disgrace, when religious televangelists were going to prison, when sports heroes were for the first time ever taking performance-enhancing steroids, when their mothers and fathers were divorcing in record numbers, or their happily married mothers and fathers, because they were the first dual-career parents on a widespread basis thanks to the women's movement, were absent often. And Gen Xers were our first generation of latchkey kids. So they came of age isolated, independent, self-reliant, psychologically distanced from older people, cynical of major institutions, especially skeptical of advertising messages, and they just brought into adulthood a bushel basket full of emotional baggage. But they are now, in adulthood, beginning to strike some victories in life as they establish themselves in their careers, get married, start their families, begin to save a few bucks. And we are talking about Gen X at possibly a pivotal time in Gen X's life as they begin to finally gain some control of their lives and begin to chalk up those victories.
And you'll find more about this information here in the Generational Imperative, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room, with Chuck Underwood out of Cincinnati, along with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Like what you hear? Stick around.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
This is the year of the lark. The lark is the car of the year. Look what's new for you from the lark. It's here, it's here,
it's gone,
here,
it's gone, it's gone. I don't think there's any left.
Yeah.
It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back with you here on The Advertising Show. Chuck Underwood out of Cincinnati. Generational Imperative is a book about understanding generational differences in the workplace, marketplace, and the living room. And we are back with more here.
Yeah, and before we move on to millennials, Chuck, define for our listeners Gen Xers from an age demographic standpoint.
In 2008, Brad, their current age is 27 to 43. This is the generation born from 1965 through 1981.
For a lot of people, boomers, at least their first children, a lot of boomers are having second generations, but children of the boomers, I guess, at the certainly the younger end of the boomers. Millennials, of course, a great job so far of describing each of these market segments. Talk a little bit about millennials, if you would, Chuck.
Millennials were born from 1982 and kind of with an asterisk to the present time. We will probably find in the next 5 to 10 years that today's 2-year-olds or 4-year-olds or 7-year-olds are actually going to experience different times and teachings during the remainder of their formative years from what the oldest millennials have already experienced. And if the times and the teachings change significantly, then those young kids today will actually become the leading edge of our next generation. But the few of us who do this for a living have to live with the temporary uncertainty of not knowing for sure when the millennials will end and that next generation will begin. So for the moment, millennials stretch from birth up through age 26. Generation X came of age as the least adult-supervised generation of children in American history. Millennials have come of age as the most adult-supervised generation of kids in American history. And because the times and the teachings have changed, they have profoundly different core values than Gen X. And if the marketplace is advertising to those young adult millennials the same way that they messaged to Gen Xers for 20 years at that age, then those marketers are preparing for the last war.
And, you know, while we're talking about it, I'm curious. I've often heard... Well, let me just get your take. Gen Xers and millennials, can you market to the same, can you have the same messaging to both groups since they're closely related?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I had a training seminar just this morning for about 100 people, and I showed one television commercial that is an example of that, and it is a 30-second TV spot by one of my clients, the United States Army. And in that 30-second spot, because the Army is still trying to recruit the younger Gen Xers while also recruiting the older millennials, they had to face this line of bullet point hot buttons. Generation X is a self-reliant, individualistic army of one, 59 million armies of one, not especially patriotic, not team players. Millennials, on the other hand, are very much a we generation. Very patriotic because they are the September 11th generation, strong groupthink, and so the U.S. Army, in a 30-second commercial, alternates its visual images back and forth, showing examples of single soldiers in action, and then in the next edit, you will see groups of soldiers. In the voiceover to the commercial, you will hear sentences spoken that appeal to millennials' sense of serving their country. But then in the next sentence, you will hear the voiceover deliver a Gen X-oriented sentence that says, one soldier can and does make a difference. So it is possible to do multi-generational advertising to these very different generations, as long as you understand each generation's core values. And in the marketplace, core values equals hot buttons.
Uh-huh. And one final question, GI generation, before we wrap up.
Well, the GIs are pretty much under the radar of the marketplace and the workplace at age 82 plus. One of the biggest points about the GIs is this. The companies that are after them are financial services, retirement living, assisted living, health care, And what those industries have learned is if they want to sell their products and services to the GIs, they're almost certainly going to have to pass through their very aggressive and very protective boomer children.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. A lot of great information here and a lot more to cover. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Chuck, it's a great book, The Generational Imperative, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and Living Room. I wish you the best of luck with that and continued success in your company as well. Thanks for being here.
This has been a pleasure. Thank you both.
On The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, we've got more in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Here's two good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And special thanks to Chuck Underwood. And by the way, Chuck had mentioned, because the book is brand new, that Amazon.com is the place to go to find it. So you want to go there and check it out. It's The Generational Imperative, Understanding Generational Differences in the Workplace, Marketplace, and the Living Room. So there we go.
Yeah.
What do you have there?
Well, I was just going to mention that News Corp has pushed up its full-year profit outlook and sees no weakness yet in the television advertising market. Peter Charon, chief operating officer of the parent Fox and Fox News networks in the U.S., says that while he knows there are concerns about the health of the ad market, Fox has not seen any weakness to date. Pricing remains very strong for both entertainment and sports, although, you know, with the strike that we've had, Ray.
Yeah, really.
The three-month-old strike now coming to an end, I guess, have raised concerns about advertising spending. And unlike TV network NBC Universal, which may cancel its May upfront advertising presentations, Fox fully intends to hold them. So,
really?
You know, if they were ever going to not do a upfront, this would be the year that that they would not do that. But it's been a rough year for TV.
Yeah,
for broadcast
exactly.
Television as well as cable.
If you're working TV, don't look for a big Christmas party this year.
Well, and it gives viewers options to go do other things, I think, which is the bad part here.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Jean Bliss here. She's wrapping up a three-part series on the customer experience here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Here's one more action you can take to instill customer focus that won't cost a thing but your personal passion. Track and trend complaints from your customers. Beyond the conversations you have with the front line, give them some sort of tool so they can capture and trend those issues. By doing this, you have an immediate hand-on-the-throttle management device for steering your company. As you track this feedback month after month, the trends will help you understand in more detail than survey data what your customer needs are. Most importantly, this type of discipline will let you take real-time action on resolving issues that may be sending your customers away. I know that everyone wants to survey their customers, but really, we've exhausted our customers with the number of surveys that goes out with no apparent action that follows. If you must survey to get the statistical data we all crave, you will find that it validates what you've already collected by trending and tracking customer complaints. In fact, if your survey is telling you new things, you're just way too far away. You're just way too distant from your customers and in a most precarious position in your relationships with them. So start tracking those complaints today. They're a gift from your customers.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Real quick before we wrap up the show today, I found this rather interesting. This is out of Advertising Age. It says, after nearly 30 years, Isuzu takes its last ride in the States.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Automaker made a mark in ad history, but wasn't enough to save the brand. The automaker brought Americans trucks named Ombre, Amigo, and Rodeo, not to mention the Lying Joe Isuzu,
yeah,
exiting the U.S. next January after a 28-year run. The cause of its death? Failure to innovate, misjudgment of the market, and woeful underspending on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That's on its tombstone, right? Isuzu has been comatose for a number of years. Charlie Hughes, president of the Brand Rules Consultancy, says so. What if you own an Isuzu? Well, I guess it goes the way of the day, Woo.
Well, one time the Trooper was one of the premier SUVs, so don't sit on your laurels.
I'd go ahead and sell yours right now.
Oh, it's a collector's item. I'm keeping it.
You're going to keep it?
Right next to the Hyundai and the Yugo.
Fine. That's fine. I'll give you $20 for it. The Advertising Show. Hope you enjoyed it today. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. And, of course, want you to visit us anytime throughout the week here at theadvertisingshow.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.